This is In Studio from Simply Timeless. I'm your host, Jay Daniels. A number of artists have been bringing the works of classic rock composers to the ears of modern jazz listeners. Recently, Kelly Suttonfield released a collection of works by Neil Young for her album, When We Were Young. Kelly and I talk about her love of Neil's music, along with many of her influences from her childhood years in Lynchburg, Virginia.
I remember church as kind of being a fun place to go every week, and I would see my grandfather up there in the pulpit, and he'd be telling these wonderful stories in this big booming voice that he had. And then we got up and sang every 5 minutes, and it just seemed like a fun way to spend the morning. It wasn't for very long when I moved from sitting out in the pews to moving up into the choir, because I felt like that's what I wanted to do. It did start me off on the path for music at a pretty young age, probably around 4 or 5. And then when I was 6, I think I grew up with a family that insisted that all children must play some sort of musical instrument. And my mother really wanted me to play piano because I think that was something that she wanted to do. So I was started on classical piano lessons when I was 6. And I just, you know, miraculously took to that very quickly, faster than anybody would have thought, and went on to do some, you know, major state competition levels with that, won a couple of times at a small age. And then I just continued on that vein for a while, just playing piano and kind of being influenced actually by my older sister, who was getting into musical theater at the time. And I thought, oh, well, that looks like a lot of fun. Maybe I can play piano and do musical theater. And eventually the musical theater kind of won out. Piano, I think when you're a teenager, piano feels very solitary, and I was longing for more community. And so I chose that path. And that went on, I mean, this thread never ends. That went on to influence my choices as an adult. But there was a gap there. There was a gap when I went to college. I did get a partial theater scholarship for musical theater. And then had a big change of life where I decided to leave Virginia and relocate to New York. And that's where the gap happened. And that's where I started to explore jazz as an adult.
Now, was jazz something that was prevalent in your family? I know that you came up learning classical piano, but was jazz something that you heard early on, or did that come along, you know, during your later teen years in theater?
I think that jazz was probably something that was kind of in the periphery of my musical background. And there were a lot of gaps in my musical knowledge too. I mean, as you know, growing up in Virginia, you're not necessarily exposed to all of the forms of music that people are in a much larger urban area. And plus a lot of the music that was already in our home was church music or Disney musicals, yes. One or the other. And but I did have a copy of the Beatles' The White Album, and I used to take it down to the basement and listen to it nonstop. That's when I discovered there was something else out there. But I was cognizant of who Ella Fitzgerald was, although I never had a record of hers growing up, and I never really got to see her perform. The switchover happened, I think, after I had gotten established in New York and just was not feeling a little bit lost, as you do sometimes in life. And I was having a talk with someone who asked me, well, what are you doing creatively? You're a creative person, and I don't see you doing anything creatively. And that quickly shifted to, well, what would you like to do, and what makes you feel good? And I said, you know what, I think singing makes me feel really good, and I want to find a way to do that. So I started taking classes at a community music school just for something to do. And took many classes, took technique classes, took opera classes, took musical theater classes. It was around the time when Diana Krall was starting to get really popular. And I thought, oh, I really like this sound. But I can't make this sound, and everyone's telling me I should be making other sounds. So I continued on with my musical theater and my technique. And I remember one day I was singing, I was supposed to get up on stage and sing Summertime. You know, I was singing in the original key, A minor, I think, singing the melody as written, which is fairly high. And that's what I had been working on for the week. And I don't know what came over me. I just got up there and I was taking my breaths as the intro was playing. And I was just like, I don't want to sing it like this. I want to sing it like Diana Krall would sing it. And without a word, I sang it an octave lower. And everybody's mouths fell open.
Yeah, summertime and the weather. Yeah.
Exactly. And it was one of those moments where, again, I thought, oh, I'm onto something here. Not only is everyone digging it, but I'm really feeling good about what I'm singing. Singing high and singing classical always made me feel a little tense. And singing jazz makes me feel tense, but in a different way, more of a relaxed tense. And after that, it was like the floodgate had opened, and that became the journey. Let's find out as much as I can about jazz vocalists and who they are and what they did and what their paths were, and how can I find my place in the world.
When you were at this point to where you had, it was not long after you arrived in New York, when you were still in school, looking down your path ahead, did you think, maybe I'll record some albums, and maybe I'll tour a little bit, and maybe I'll take music seriously? Was that what was going through your mind at the time? I mean, what were you thinking would be in your musical future?
None of that was going through my mind at the time. And I remember meeting with this wonderful singer called Barbara Sfraga, who was coaching me on... She did a workshop, kind of like how to visualize where you'll be in 5 years kind of thing. And I just thought my end goal at the end of 5 years was to headline in a major jazz club. That was my end goal, which I actually did. But I didn't really think that 5-year plan was going to help. But basically, I think, you know, she laid out a path and she said, if you keep doing these things and you don't stop, you're probably going to meet your goal. And she was right.
How long did that take from that point?
It was a little over 5 years. But I can't recall exactly. But I was quite surprised when it happened. And in fact, you know, things seem, well... Current times notwithstanding, but things seem to be harder and harder these days to get those kinds of opportunities and to maintain them and to have been able to have them early on in my career was a huge source of validation for me and sort of confirmation that I am on the right path and I should keep going, especially when things feel this way and there seems to be a demand for it. Now I'm not really sure what's happening, but I, you know, as a musician, you make music because you make music. That's it.
And for you, it's something very personal too.
It's always personal with me. It's always personal. You know, I have people approach me sometimes, songwriters, they have a catalog of music. Would I please, you know, go through it and select something? And, I if I don't feel it, like it personally touches me, I just, you know, have really a hard time trying to sing it. I'll do it if I have to, but it's not really my thing.
Why do a project on Neil Young? Why is his music so special for you?
It didn't start out that way. I didn't say I'm going to do a Neil Young project for my third album. What happened is I gradually started incorporating his music into my repertoire. And I noticed that it became the music that was most requested. And I thought, okay, I've tapped into something here. People are listening and appreciating in a way that they don't for other songs that I'm doing. And I'm still within the boundaries of jazz, and I'm also creating something a little bit different, maybe a little bit of a hybrid. And the way this all started was also back in that time when I was first learning about jazz, and particularly contemporary jazz vocalist, Cassandra Wilson had done a cover version of Neil Young's Harvest Moon. And I just thought this song was breathtaking and spellbinding. Now, I absolutely loved Neil Young's version because that's the only other version I knew. I don't think I heard anyone cover it until Cassandra Wilson. And she just put such a mood and a vibe on this song. And it was at that moment that I said, oh, so this is what jazz can be like. If that's the case, I want to do more of this. I want to do the other things too, but I want to be able to do this too. And that somehow just sat in the back of my little brain for many, many years until I decided to pull it out and start working on it in some of my concerts. And then Harvest Moon led to Only Love Can Break Your Heart, which led to, I don't know, something else I was doing, Down by the River, I think. And again, with each song came more people coming up to me afterwards saying, I loved when you did that song because it reminded me of the time my husband, blah, blah, blah. Or, oh, that song really means a lot to me because I had a family member who passed away and that was their favorite song. No, nobody's coming up to me with stories like that for Bye Bye Blackbird. Yeah. My whole thing with music is, you know, I love it and I love doing it and I love watching other people do it. But in order for me to be fully engaged in someone's performance, I have to be moved. And these songs and the development of them into a project like this completely encapsulated me. And I was so fortunate to have a great friend and collaborator to work with on the project, without which this project wouldn't have happened. And that is Tosh Sheridan, who produced and arranged, well, he arranged the whole thing. I had some say about things, of course, but he gets full credit for everything.
Now, was the music of Neil Young something that was important to you before you heard Cassandra Wilson's recording?
Well, it was, you know, Neil Young's music was kind of in the background or the soundtrack of my life growing up. I think my first exposure to Neil Young was probably Heart of Gold. And I remember being a kid in the 70s, and you could hear that song on the radio 5-6 times a day. And it was his only number one hit. I think he was quite disdained about that because he had now sold out and gone mainstream, this rebel rocker. But if there was no Heart of Gold, there would be no Neil Young as we know him today.
What do you derive from his lyrics? I know that, you know, when you were collaborating on the arrangements for this, surely you had to study the lyrics. What is the story that Neil Young is trying to say with his lyrics? And I want to ask, how do those lyrics speak to you as a musician, but also on a personal level? How do they speak to you?
That's a very good question, because Neil Young has some wacky lyrics, I have to say, and they don't necessarily make sense, some of them, and they're not meant to be literal, and you just kind of have to go with it because it's Neil Young, and that's the approach I took. And it is difficult for me to sing a song, Down by the River, I Shot My Baby Dead, and there's this mythology that he wrote that song when he was ill with a fever and having, you know, delirium. A lot of his songs were also allegedly written while he was under the influence of drugs. So that explains some of the visual imagery. There's one song I do on the album called Flying on the Ground is Wrong. And that's supposedly about being high and feelings that you have and the memories and sensations that emerge. But who knows? I just know that somehow working with Tasha, I was able to craft them into a complete collection of songs that just, you know, told a larger story, painted a larger picture of what? I don't know. But it is a collection, which is something that you don't see these days because everything is song by song.
You had been bringing pop and, you know, acoustic rock together with jazz for your previous recordings. But did you find it challenging, though, to take something that was so remotely disconnected from jazz and bringing that together to make it accessible to the jazz audience?
Yeah, it was very challenging. The good thing is that I had the through line of Cassandra Wilson, and some other top artists had recorded Neil Young as well. Jackie Naylor has a version of Only Love Can Break Your Heart. Lila Bialy has Heart of Gold. Oh, Liz Wright, of course, has Old Man, beautiful version of Old Man that I've seen her perform live in concert. Yeah, it was really challenging, and I just kind of had to get a little bit nose down, blinders on, and say I'm committing to this project because I believe in it, and I know not everyone's going to get it, and that's kind of the attitude I take with each album. It's a snapshot of where I am in my life. I yes, I'm doing it to share with people, but I'm not doing it for people. That would be a different kind of musical experience. And it might make me work in a way that I'm not at my best. I feel like even though this album is much more pop than any of my other albums have been, I do feel like it is quite high level. And I'm very, very proud of it. And it has maybe not gotten... it's gotten some absolutely terrific reviews in the jazz world, but it's also been kind of questioned or passed over by other jazz critics because it's not jazz enough for them.
It's not real jazz.
Yeah, it's not real jazz. Yeah. And what I have to say to that is I'm just very proud of it, and it's I feel like it's one of the best things that I've done.
I think if I could draw any connection between yours and the original recordings that I know that Neil Young participated in, they do have similarities in the way that they are approached musically. And I think that's a good thing because you were not only able to introduce this to a new audience who may not know his music, but for those who are Neil Young fans, it shows that you have given this a bit of respect and a bit of... You have acknowledged the stylings that he was going for, and you have brought those into your own arrangement, whether you intended to or not. That's what I got from the album.
No, you're absolutely right. I did intend to do that because, listen, I'm not going to be scatting Neil Young. I mean, that's just
that would be something. Steve Babadouah.
Yeah, it really, but it wouldn't. That's another thing. I'm a fan of vocal improvisation when it's done well and when it has a purpose. To do it just as to do it is kind of meaningless to me. But I did intentionally sing these songs a little straighter and a little more structured than I would, a jazz arrangement of a jazz standard, if you know what I mean. The choices I made were to... take more space and also to maybe manipulate the melody a little bit and a little bit of rhythmic interpretation, but towards the ends of phrases, not mixing up the whole phrase, because those songs are very, they're very solid, but they are very much matchstick houses. They have a certain framework and they'll bend, but if you deconstruct them too much, then you sort of lose the original context.
So looking forward, this album is now, I wouldn't say it's behind you, but certainly it's now in the history books, and you continue to promote it. Even though there are not many live performances right now, obviously, you know, you keep, you're wanting to continue to spread it to audiences. But do you have any other ideas percolating for what your next project might be?
I do. And I just want to comment on that really quickly. I was supposed to have an album release concert in New York City in June. And of course, that's up in the air. And then I'm working on other dates, which are also up in the air. But right now, in terms of next project, I think I probably going to stick with a little bit of my pattern and do something a little bit different. And what that is exactly, I'm not quite sure. Sometimes I have a fantasy that I want to have a gypsy jazz band or Western swing band. Those are just outright fun things to do. But I'm also staying here in a different place for unspecified amount of time. And I think maybe what I should do is combine my background with the kind of music that's very popular here, which is more jazz, soul, R&B, and see what happens. Put my brush to the canvas and see what comes out.
So, of all the things you could do in life, especially those where you put your heart and soul into it, music is your passion. So, why music?
Music, there's such an instantaneous connection with music, especially vocally. And during this time, this pandemic that we're all going through, when I see how people are expressing themselves around the world, the most common and pervasive way is through song. It is just immediate. You open your mouth, the sound comes out, you have a feeling, you can't help it. Your body is wired that way. And music has been very therapeutic for me. It's been very healing for me. And it is moving to me when I am able to move other people.
Kelly Suttonfield, our guest this week during In Studio from Simply Timeless. The album is When We Were Young. And you can find out more by visiting KellySuttonfield.com. Kelly is spelt K-E-L-L-E-Y. Special thanks to you also for listening this week. I'm Jay Daniels, and this has been In Studio from Simply Timeless.